We are so fortunate today that not only is it Pentecost, but it is where we recognize our graduates. Those of us who are old and not so old know that the world was a simpler place when we lived in it, when we were growing up, and it was not easy then. And the world has become an oh so much more complicated place and difficult place and interconnected with challenges that we never had to face when we were young. So our young people certainly do need our prayers. They need to be covered with the protection that a church family gives them. And so that's what we remember this morning. So I'd like to invite our graduating seniors to come forward. I think Lily's in the back with the kids. Lily, you got to come front. And everyone who's here. I don't know, lots of folks are off and doing parties today, and so we have Gabby Krause. I didn't see Gabby. Lexi Sterner, they're on vacation. Michaela is here. Michaela Neifert. Corey Stewart. Lillianne Wishavora. In Africa, that's Wishavora Lillianne. And Adam Schumpert. Adam, there you are. And Ben Geit. I don't think Ben's here. His party day. Mason is here. And Charles. Okie dokie, guys. Come on up, those of you who are here. Oh, look, we've got the ladies on one side. You know what? It didn't even occur to me when I was reading those names. Okay. Awesome. Good to see you guys. You have to actually come together a little closer. I know. You know, you still haven't, you're still that way. We are so fortunate to have known you guys for this length of time. We are so honored that you have shared this part of your lives with us. And we know that we have not always been the Christians that we should have been when you were looking at us growing up and when you were looking at us maybe even out in the community. But the one thing I would hope that you guys would remember is you guys don't always have to get it perfectly right either, and that's why we have a Savior. Okay, we put everything that when we understand that we have sinned, we put it under the blood of Jesus. And Jesus lives in our hearts. And those of you have heard that message when you have grown up with us, when you have been with us, when you have visited with us. You heard that you're not going to make it in life unless you've got Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit that's taken care of you and given you the strength to live. So we hope that you have a good testimony being with us. We hope that you can tell good stories, and you are even permitted right now to tell those stories when we were really being dumb and you saw us being really dumb and you went and you shared that with your friends. Okay, we know that happens. Okay, you have permission to share those stories and to laugh at us because we laugh at ourselves as well, okay? So we are going to just pray over you guys. I'm going to pray over you individually. Father God, I just pray right now for Charles that you would guard, guide, and protect him all of his days. I pray that for Ben as well, Father. Guard and guide him. Give him your wisdom. And right now for Mason, Father God, I just pray that you would give him strength of a good testimony, Lord, and that he would never be ashamed to tell people that you are his Lord and Savior. I pray for Adam right now, Father God, that you would also guard, guide, and protect him, and just that he would get a peace from your Holy Spirit and that it would spill out onto his family. Father, we thank you for Lillianne, and we pray, Father, that as she goes back to Africa, that she will take the best part of us with her, and that, Lord God, you would guard and protect her in Africa, but also, Lord, that we would see her again and that you would give her a wonderful life on a global scale. And Father God, I pray for Corey right now that you would speak to her heart just about how capable she is and that you would encourage her and bless her and help her to know just how valuable and just how appreciated she is, not only in her family, but with all of her friends that know her. And I pray right now for Michaela, Father God, that you would give her the strength and the wisdom that she needs to be about the business of her life, Father God, and that you would give her a sweetness of spirit and a softness, Lord, that she truly would understand how much she is loved, not just by all of us who know her, but by you. And so, Father God, I just pray right now for these young people. We're sending them off today. We're recognizing them today. And we pray, Lord, that they would always know that they have a home in this place. I pray right now for the lap robes and prayer shawls, that, Father, if they take them wherever it is that they go, they would always be able to look at it and know that they have friends and family at Christ Church that are praying for them and who they can always count on no matter where they find themselves in life. Because, Lord, that's the way it is with families, and we're a family here. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Okay, so I'd like everyone right now to reach your hands forward and just say, we bless these graduates. We bless these graduates. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you guys. I think they deserve a hand clap. Charles. Mason. Ben. Look, you stood right in front. Ben, how did you get that tall? And Adam. Okay. And Lily. And Corey. Did you guys do this on purpose? And Michaela. Awesome. Okay. God bless you. We love you guys. Okay, now, go in peace. Serve the Lord in your generation, because here's the deal. We're getting old. Okay? You guys are going to have to pick it up. Step up, because we're going to be handing you the gauntlet here pretty quick. Okay? Christendom is depending on you. Okay, so, go. Our scripture lesson is taken from the historical book of Acts. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on the oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make you your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Revive us. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art
Can I have the children join me this morning? I know, I saw that. Good morning, everybody. So today is a very special day. Did anybody catch the term that for the holiday we're celebrating today? Pentecost, that's right. And so Pentecost is a day that we remember that the Holy Spirit came to the church and really was the birthday for the church. You see, Jesus promised before that he left, before he ascended into heaven, and even before he died on the cross, that he would give us a helper. And that helper would be with us. He would let us know all things that we need to know and give us power and strength to do all sorts of things. And that helper was the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was promising for us. And today, that's what we are celebrating. And in the scripture lesson this morning, it tells just what kind of power that the Holy Spirit had and gave to the people on that first Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit came down, it looked like fire. And the fire came down and it rested on them. And when that happened, they were able to speak in different languages and all people could understand them no matter what country they came from. And they were boldly and proudly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and telling them all the things that Jesus did and the truth of his love and his sacrifice for all people. And the Holy Spirit is what gave them that power. And now I have this flashlight. Now, this is just a standard flashlight, nothing special. It's pretty bright. Do you guys have flashlights at home?
I do.
All right. And what makes a flashlight work? What do you think? A light, yes. There's a light bulb in there. What else?
Molly? Battery.
Right. There's a battery in here somewhere. And the battery is what gives it the power. And so, similarly, the Holy Spirit is what gives us power, even to this day. And we get our power to go out and boldly proclaim Jesus' name and to be a presence and a witness into all people's lives because of what the Holy Spirit does when he comes and becomes a part of our life. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the great gift that is your Holy Spirit, and we pray that we can feel the power of the Spirit working in us to boldly proclaim your name and be a witness to you and your church and to your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
When I lay me down to die, going up to
rock tune by Norman Greenbaum, and no, I was not an adult when that came out, so. Speaks about the spirit in the sky. You know, card-carrying Jewish fellow, Norman Greenbaum, we are celebrating Pentecost today, which is a New Testament celebration, but, you know, in the Old Testament, they celebrated Pentecost as well. Pentecost was celebrated by the Jews for the giving of the law. It was a celebration of Moses getting the law in his hands. Well, when the New Testament came, the Lord guaranteed us that he was going to give us the Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't have to have tablets of the law anymore, that the law was going to be written on our hearts. And so New Testament Pentecost is the giving of something as well, but it's the giving of the Holy Spirit so that the law could be written on our hearts. So Norman Greenbaum was talking about a spirit in the sky. He got only one part of our theology a little wrong, but after all, he wasn't a Christian fellow. And he just saw all of his friends getting saved, and there was a big movement of the Holy Spirit back then, and he was just writing a song about what he saw happening in his friends. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. But since today is Pentecost, we are celebrating the Spirit, but he's not in the sky. Not in the sky anymore. He's the one who the Father and the Son sent down to be in our hearts. You know, a few years ago, I was doing a funeral here, and it wasn't someone who was one of our church, close church family. Funeral director was from far away. They had moved away. I completed the funeral, as was my custom. Everybody left. I had used the ladies' room, but I was doing things, you know, picking up, turning off lights, you know, putting everything back, as is my custom, helping the funeral director. And unbeknownst to me, when I had gone to the ladies' room, I had tucked my full skirt up in my pantyhose in the back. Yeah, I don't want to paint that picture for anybody. I had been walking around, busying myself in the church, you know, doing all the things that I usually do, all the while giving the funeral director a show he did not want to see. You know, I probably would have gone the rest of the day like that if Jess Gamble had not been leaving the parking lot. She rolled down the window and she yelled out, "Hey, Pastor Sonny, your skirt's caught up in the back." I just laughed. You know, I am way too old to be embarrassed. But anyway, the funeral director had actually left already, and I was really kind of sorry about that because I wanted to have a laugh with him. But I bet you he and his buddies still talk about that on occasion, and they have a good laugh about that as well. Now, I have been told that the sign of an emotionally healthy person is that they can laugh at themselves. And I am really hoping that's true, because I have done some incredibly lame things, okay? You know, it is really fun to laugh at comedians, and it's entertaining to laugh at children who say odd things. And I think Steve Harvey's show, Little Big Shots, is kind of evidence of that. But the best humor of all is when we can laugh at ourselves, because we do. I mean, if we were an amening church, and I say we all do lame stuff, I would hear a resounding amen, you know. It is, but they say that laughing at yourself is a mark of emotional maturity. Penny, stop giving him a hard time back there for something dumb he did. Okay, a story, okay. But you know, the one thing about laughing at ourselves, one thing it does is it frees us from self-pity and it cures us of pride. You know, we have such a tendency to be, you know, to try to be so cool, you know, but doing something really lame delivers us of that, and it saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. To have a good sense of humor and to be able to laugh at yourself, they say, are significant signs of a healthy personality. Now, let me just ask a little bit deeper question, and that is, what are the significant signs of a healthy faith? It's a good question to raise on a day like today and to think about on a day like today as we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church. Do we as a church family have a healthy faith? And it's a good question also for us to raise and to think about today as we celebrate our graduating seniors. Do they have a healthy faith that they will need to face the adventures and the challenges of a college campus or when they get out there in the work world. I remember the boys used to work for Miller Brothers as laborers during the summer, and I'd come home and they wouldn't even tell me what was discussed. And I'd say, oh, you know, one time they were talking about something. I was like, oh, you know, wasn't he a Christian? He's like, Mom, no, none of them are, you know, just like, it just isn't like that, you know, in a concrete pour. But anyway, we're praising Jesus in a concrete pour. Anyway, what do you think about that? What are the significant signs of a healthy faith? I mean, I think we need to be able to quantitate that. If you were asked to make a list of the key signs of a healthy faith, what do you think you would put down? You probably wouldn't, you know, you probably haven't given it much thought. Well, I thought that maybe this morning, since we're talking to our seniors and it's Pentecost, I think we need to kind of take a, you know, kind of a faith checkup, you know. And what I want to put before the seniors and before all of us is a series of three questions that will help them and us kind of take our spiritual pulse and to evaluate our present spiritual temperature and kind of to check and see what our spiritual heartbeat is. Now, here's question number one. Do you have a healthy relationship with God? Now, think about that. How is your relationship with God right now? Is it warm and wonderful? Is it alive and well? Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? You know, some people have what they think is a relationship with God based on fear and guilt. They say, you know, boy, I better shape up. I better obey the rules or God is going to get me. That is a lousy, lousy approach to faith because it makes God the boogeyman somehow out to get us. And nothing could be farther from the truth. According to the scriptures, God is not the boogeyman. He is our best friend. He's out to find us and save us and bring us safely back into his loving arms. And he wants us to discover his will. So he doesn't even make it hard for us to discover his will. You know, so, you know, if you're really agonizing on God's will for you, that's a human thing. God wants to reveal his will to you. You know, you need to relax. But anyway, now other people have a relationship with God based on kind of a self-interest. They say, you know, I better be good. Because if I'm good, God's going to bless me. And he's going to then, not only is he going to bless me in this life, but then I get to go to heaven later. And that is also a really lousy understanding of the faith. Because it considers God as nothing more than some kind of an impersonal computer who automatically and mechanically rewards us when we do good and punishes us when we do bad. According to the Bible, that is not the way God works at all. Now, Jesus showed us in a pretty dramatic way that God loves us unconditionally and compassionately and sacrificially and graciously. So God is not some unfeeling, uncaring, impersonal computer that does nothing more than react to what it is that we have done or are doing. That is not God. The opposite is true. He is our loving Lord. He's our personal Savior. He comes looking for us, just like a parent who is frantically looking for their lost child. Have you ever lost sight of your little pumpkin in public? Do you know what that feels like? That's God searching for us in our lives, laying his life on the line to find us, to save us, to reclaim us, to redeem us, to draw us back into his loving arms where we belong. We do good things not in order to get God to love us. We do good things because he already loves us and because we are so doggone grateful that we just can't sit still. Relationships with God based on fear and guilt or self-interest are sick. They are flawed. They're flawed from the get-go because you see, a healthy relationship with God is based on trust. Now, you've heard the saying, we do our best and trust God for the rest. Well, that's what Pentecost is about. The celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is not in the sky anymore, the one who lives in us. God is with us, and we can trust Him. And that is the promise of Pentecost. It's also the great promise of God on page after page after page in Scripture. It's God's most significant promise to never abandon us, never leave us, always be with us, always be by our side, to give us strength for whatever difficulty or challenge or obstacle that we come across in this world. And that promise, I'm thinking this morning, is a really, really good thing for our graduating seniors today. But I think it's also a really, really good thing for us to remember. And that's the kind of trust that Peter must have had when he stood up to preach on that first day of Pentecost, of New Testament Pentecost. Oh, God, help me. Can't you just see him? Help me. Please be with me, all those people. God was with him. God's Spirit blew on that place. And he gave Peter the right words to say and the courage to say them. And 3,000 people were converted that day because Peter did his best and trusted God for the rest. I just want to ask you something this morning. Do you trust God like that? Is that how you trust God in your faith? Do you have a healthy and lively relationship with God built on love and trust in Him? Now let me go to the second question. Okay, you ready? All right, that's question one. Second question. Do you have a healthy relationship with others? Now, I know I have told you, I draw such inspiration from church family over the years. And many years ago, they're long gone now, both of them. But there were teachers in Minersville, Loretta Murphy, and you've heard me speak of Harriet Schoenfelder already. I found her picture in my desk a couple weeks ago. Anyway, they were childhood friends, it turns out. They were shut-ins by the time I knew them, and in their 90s. And that's 25 years ago, so, you know, they've been with Jesus a long time. But anyway, they were childhood friends. And I remember that Loretta used to tell this story. Harriet remembered it, but she didn't want to tell it so much. But anyway, when they were little girls, they were like 7, I think. Back then, it was a different world, and they went actually for a walk on the Gordon Mountain. Now, you know where Minersville is, and they walked out to the Gordon Mountain, and they were going to go over the Gordon Mountain. I actually have another story. I'll have to tell that someday about the Gordon Mountain. But anyway, it's really awesome. Anyway, so there on the Gordon Mountain, it started to snow. They were in the trees. You know, they were kind of like playing. They were little girls. You know, it was safe. It was safe back then. They're playing, and they're in the trees, so they did not notice that a blizzard had blown in, like a big nor'easter, and it was bad. So they were there most of the, you know, they're playing in the woods, and they're building huts, and they're, you know, but they didn't notice how bad it had gotten, or really how cold it had gotten. And they started walking home. It was actually starting to kind of get dusk, and they decided they were going to walk home. Turns out they are little girls, and they are almost, you know, they are already up to their thighs in snow, and they're trudging through the snow to get home, and the weather had plummeted, and it was ugly, and they were almost in danger of losing their way. And Loretta said to me, I have never been so cold in my life. And Harriet reflected that as well. They were freezing, and what happened, that walking was so hard, Harriet laid down in the snow. And she said to Loretta, I'm just so tired. Just let me rest here. You go on. Now, what was happening was hypothermia was setting in. Okay, yes, the nurses are going, yes, okay. And Loretta, at 7, understood what was happening. They were brilliant women. Ugh, wait till you see them in heaven. Ugh. Anyway, Harriet wouldn't budge. And she was like, no, I'm just so tired. Just let me lay here. I'll be fine. You go on ahead and you just bring somebody back to get me. Loretta would not let her there. And Loretta actually took her arm and was dragging her through the snow because Harriet would not get up. And Loretta said, I was crying and pleading with her to please get up, and she wouldn't get up. And finally, Loretta, as best she could, kind of got under her arm and half drug her, and Harriet was helping. And she said later, she said, we struggled against the wind and we held on to each other until we got to my house. And they were in terrible trouble, by the way. They remembered that. Big trouble. But she said, we only made it because we were holding on to each other. Now that's a story of little girls. But the Pentecost story reminds me of that. Sometimes we just want to curl up and die, and we have friends and church family for the journey who grab us by the arm, and sometimes they have to drag us along so that we can make it home. The Pentecost story reminds us that we are all family. On that first New Testament Pentecost day, all those people were drawn together. They were people from different cultures and different languages and different backgrounds and different countries. And they were all united by the Holy Spirit. And they were joined together that day by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 90-year-old, she was 90-plus then, Loretta Murphy said to me, you know, we just made it home by holding on to each other. And that's our calling as well. To see other people not as strangers, but as brothers and sisters. To sometimes help along the way and sometimes permit them to help us. So, how is it with you? Do you have a healthy relationship with God? And do you trust Him? And do you have a healthy relationship with others built on love and respect? I'm going to move to the third question. Do you have a healthy relationship with yourself? That's a tough one, isn't it? You know, it was a real breakthrough in social understanding when it was discovered that the key to having a good relationship with God and with others is having a good relationship with yourself. Now, this is what you guys need to know. This is not a new concept, okay? One of the church fathers, Augustine, way back in the day, okay, he wrote this at the foundation of the church, and he really raised a few eyebrows, I got to tell you, because he talked about self-love, how necessary it was for having a good relationship with God, and everybody was back to beating themselves back then, so this was really pretty noteworthy, right? Well, anyway, the lost wisdom is being rediscovered. More and more people understand it is essential to have a healthy love and respect for yourself. You know, if we are content with who we are as a person, we are much more likely to be happy. We are much more likely to be productive. And we are much more likely to make the world a better place because we live in it. Conversely, those people with poor, you know, people with poor self-esteem, those who don't like themselves, those who feel worthless, they're much more likely to be cranky. They're much more likely to have problems. They are much more likely to be problems themselves. They say that's why Schuylkill County is a difficult place, because it is full of people who have very, very low self-esteem. You know, you get close, you pause down, everybody's thinking they're pretty cool. Up here, everybody thinks they're worthless, and so it doesn't matter if I throw my trash out the door because nobody cares, right? Okay, if you have a low opinion of yourself, you just have a low opinion of everything, and you are difficult to deal with, and you yell out the door at children in the middle of the night, and you make the world a more hopeless place because you live in it. You know, criminologists discovered that the majority of people who have a life of crime, violence, and drugs are people who have a very, very low opinion of themselves. Healthy contentment with oneself, you know what? That makes a happy person. Poor self-esteem, you know, that creates a hostile person. If you find people who are always negative, always complaining, always unhappy, always criticizing others, first of all, take it as an opportunity to love them because that's what they need. But what you can be sure of, is that they hate themselves more than they profess to hate others or circumstances. You can be sure of that. Their bitterness comes from within. They are unhappy with themselves. But there is help from God. You know, Peter really took a hit. You know, he was hating himself pretty bad. He denied the Lord 3 times. And even though Christ came and found him and forgave him, you know, he didn't forgive himself. And his self-respect, you know, that it was not restored until the Holy Spirit came to him at Pentecost. After that, you know, he was doing okay again. His confidence returned, and he gave all the credit to God where it belonged. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, we are like specks of dust dancing in the sunlight coming through a window. You've seen that, haven't you? Isn't that what you want your life to be like? That's the way it works when the Holy Spirit's in charge. When the Spirit in the sky comes down and lives in your heart, that's what it's like. But when that happens, he gives us a healthy relationship with God the Father. He gives us a healthy relationship with others. And he gives us a healthy relationship with ourselves. And if those 3 things are not present in your life, ask the Lord to fix that. He will deliver you. He will restore you. And he will bring you home. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that we are not alone. And Lord, we have been our share of cranky. We have been our share of critical. We have been our share of seeing the glass always as half empty, and we pray that you would deliver us. Help us to have a healthy relationship with you and others and ourselves. For we pray it in the name of the only one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.